I was thinking I get to follow the kids singing. Man, what a letdown for y'all. But I got to thinking about what they sang about the great gift of God and the salvation that he's given. And it ties in real well with the little short passage I want us to look at tonight. I won't keep you long, I promise. I know there's a little ball game that started about now that some of you are going, I wonder. They're 11-0, they're in the playoffs. It's okay, don't worry, all right? But I want to talk about this story because it's a really interesting little story. Last week we talked about Paul and Barnabas as they made their way over into what is today modern Turkey, into a place called Pisidian Antioch. And if you remember the story or if you've read the story, they get there and what they really are doing is sharing the gospel, sharing the good news of Christ, talking about the gift that God has given of salvation in Jesus. And as they got there, they went up to this village at about 3,600 feet above sea level, and they shared the gospel, and none of the Jews got saved, but a number of Gentiles got saved, and then they had to leave town. Things got hard. And you kind of go, well, that must mean they were doing the wrong thing. No, when God brings opposition, sometimes you're going to find it's the right thing. And that's what I want you to see tonight as we look at these just seven verses in Acts chapter 14. Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country, and there they continue to preach the gospel. Father, I pray that as we look at this short passage, you would show us the amazing responsibility that you call us as your children to share the good news, to speak the gospel, to talk about the gift of Jesus to the world in which we live. And Father, even when things get hard, to keep on being faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. So a couple things I want you to see, and we'll try to apply it, and we'll get you out on time tonight. The first thing they did is they shared the gospel again. And you're going to notice the word again because they keep doing the same things, which is what they're called to do. They had been forced to leave Pisidian Antioch, and they were kind of going, okay, now where? What's next in their life? And it happened to be that in that region was one of the major Roman roads called the Via Sebaste. It's probably not a road most of you have ever heard of, but it was the major road that traveled from what is today Istanbul down into what is the Middle East today. And it was a major road. It was built in 6 BC. And so here they are on a major road, and you're going to go one way or the other, right? Left or right? That's what happens when you get to a major road. You got to decide which way you're going to go. And they head east because that was back towards their home base. And they begin to head down this place, and the next town, about 60 miles away, was a place called Iconium. You're going, never heard of it. Yeah, most of us haven't. It's called today Konya. Did that help? Probably not. It's a modern city in Turkey that's still inhabited to this day. I mean, it's been around thousands of years. And you can imagine, as they get there, they've got to make a plan. What are we going to do? And what I find interesting about the disciples of Jesus and Paul and Barnabas in particular is they do the same thing every time they walk into a new town. I think that's instructive. We're going to see that. They would go to the Jews. They would go to the synagogue. They would go on Friday evening, on Shabbat. They would go to the service, and they would have the opportunity to share the gospel. Man, you know, look at these opportunities in place for them to go. And they get there, and here's what happens. God moves in this situation. God opens the doors for not only Jews this time, but also Greeks or Gentiles to come to know the Lord. And Christ, Messiah, the one we're celebrating this season for, is shared and people come to know Christ. See, God is always at work in the world. These men took an opportunity to share the gospel, to speak the gospel, to call people to salvation. Doesn't go into a lot of detail here, but that's what they're doing, is sharing the gospel. Second, they faced opposition again. One of the things you're going to see as we continue to work through the book of Acts is again and again and again, every time the gospel is shared, opposition arises. I got to tell you, that hadn't changed in 2,000 years. Look at the text again. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. I find that interesting. Here they are. They've shared the gospel. We hear the gospel shared. People come to know Christ. We're going, man, this is cool. This is great. This is amazing. And then you start to see a pattern. With the gospel shared, opposition arises. When God begins to move, opposition arises. Somebody once said this, and you probably heard this before because I didn't write this, but I like it. If you get up in the morning and don't meet the devil, it just means this. You're headed the same direction he is. There's got to be some opposition when you're living the life of Christ and living the life of the gospel. And so there's something different between those of us who follow Christ and those who don't. There's something that's just fundamentally different between us. And what we see here is Jews making a conscious effort to stir up trouble. Now, I've always found that interesting. And I got to tell you, when I read the passage like this, it just breaks my heart. You know, these guys show up and share the gospel. Y'all are kind of going, that's a good deal, right? That's a good thing. It's a good thing that the gospel shared. Does that mean everyone has to receive it? Of course not. That breaks my heart. But what really breaks my heart is the action of unbelieving Jews. Look at the text there. The unbelieving Jews didn't just go, okay, well, they accepted Jesus. Look what happened. They go, we're going to actively work to destroy the gospel. Isn't that crazy? Why would people do that? You know, we want people to hear the truth. We want to have let whole people hold their own positions. And yet some people sit back and go, well, your position's wrong because it's not my position. It's interesting what they do here. Catch the gravity of the moment. God brings Paul and Barnabas to the community with the good news. The Jews see the connection. They hear the gospel. They receive the gospel. They get excited. The Greeks hear the gospel. They receive the gospel. They accept it and get on board. But then this group steps in and says, no, no, no. You can't do that. Why? And we could talk for hours. Okay, I could talk for hours about some of the reasons I won't. But here's what I want you to catch. Opposition arises when the gospel is shared. So what do these guys do? Look at verse 3. They've remained for a long time. Did you catch that? Now catch this. Opposition arises. What do some of us do? Run away. Run away. Must be wrong. Not these guys. They said, no, we're going to stay. We're going to be faithful. They remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord. Look what they do. Who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders. And we could talk for hours on that one too. Lots of cool things going on here. But the essence of what I want you to see is this. While division arises and troubles arise and there's problems coming up here, a large number of Jews and Greeks are coming to know Christ. And in the face of the opposition, the men whom God has given the opportunity to share the gospel, don't run away. In the moment. Man, there's a word of encouragement there for me, hopefully for you. These men didn't have an easy road, but they did have a godly road. They didn't have an easy way, but they had a godly way. And they engaged the community, they shared the gospel, and God moved in the moment. Wouldn't you like to know what those signs and wonders were they did? I always find it interesting, you know, I'm kind of, y'all know I'm weird. I read a text and go, well, why didn't they tell us what was in there? Why didn't they tell us what they did? I suspect they don't tell us for this one reason. You know what it is? If we knew what they did, you know what we'd be doing? We'd be trying to do the same thing they did. What they should be doing is sharing the gospel. That's the call here, and I want you to see that. God has allowed these signs and wonders for one reason, to show that God's at work. These men are being faithful. Come on down, verse 4. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, and some, here's what happens. They experience division again. Now, some scholars want to say that verse 3 and verse 4 are inverted in the original text. I don't think it has to be. I don't agree with that. I disagree with it. It's the way it is. I think it's good. But notice what happens here. After a period of time of being faithful, right on this prime location, Roman Road. Can you imagine the bands of travelers that would come through and hear the gospel? Men who would come from the east and hear the gospel, who'd go to the west and hear the gospel, coming through this village, this town, there grows more division and more struggle. In fact, they use a word here that's kind of an unusual word, and you probably haven't noticed it, but it's a word apostle. It's not used outside the Gospels, but a couple of times, and here's one of them. And it refers to these two guys as men who are planting churches. Have you ever wondered what an apostle means? The word apostle literally means this, one who plants churches, one who plants the gospel, who shares the gospel. So anybody who hears a church planter, they really are apostles in a real sense, a biblical sense of the word. But notice what's going on here. These men are sharing the gospel. They're moving. They're sharing and experiencing the presence of God. And before that day, Paul walks into Iconium. No one had ever heard Messiah was there. No one had ever heard the good news. And yet division is the result of that. You go, well, how could that be? Do you remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12? verse 51, he said this, do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? His answer was no, but rather division. And Jesus said this, for from now on in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three, and they will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against, not son-in-law, but daughter-in-law. I thought that was interesting. And daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. What he's saying is this, when the gospel shows up, division is real. You go, well that just doesn't seem logical, does it? You think when Christ shows up, we should all be together. And yet, how many families have you known where the gospel is in one part of the family and the other part struggles because he's not there? And there's division and there's struggle. Anytime we start thinking and trying to live that the gospel is a great uniter, we actually miss the essence of the gospel. The gospel is actually, and boy, we could spend a lot of time here, but is actually a great divider because it separates those who follow the Lord from those who don't and sets us apart. One last thought, and I want to just then apply it real quick. They moved on. You're going, huh? Look at verse 5. When the attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them. Now, I don't know about you. I've never been stoned in any sense of the word, okay? Y'all with me? But I can't imagine having rocks thrown at me would be healthy for me, okay? That's what they're talking about here. They learned of it. They heard the story. They're getting ready to stone us. Now, in that moment, what do you do? Well, Lord, I guess it's time to go home. We know from other passages that Paul is stoned at times. You know that happens to him. He's stoned a couple of times and survives. Let that one sink in for the gospel. But here, they learn of it and they move on. And they head east to a place called Lystra in Derbe on the border of two different Roman states. And they continue to do what? Preach the gospel. They said, okay, we can't stay here, but we're moving on. Does that mean that the gospel died there? Not at all. God's word continues. God continues to share. In fact, we find over in chapter 16, in a few months we'll get there, but in chapter 16, a guy named Timothy, you may have heard of him. Timothy was from a village and a region around called Lystra and Iconium. He heard the gospel because Paul and Barnabas were faithful to go and share and move. So what do we do with this real quick? And then we'll be done. I told you we're going to finish fast tonight. The first thing is this, God places opportunities in front of us. I am a firm believer that if you're a follower of Jesus, you will have opportunities almost on a daily basis to share the gospel. You go, I've never seen him. Could I challenge you to do this? Open your eyes and look around. They're there. The opportunity, you're going, you may not got to sit down and go through like the Roman road with somebody and explain this or use the faith outline that some of you have learned. I got to go through. Not always. Sometimes it's just a moment where you speak a positive word about Christ. Sometimes it's just a moment where you share a good thought with someone about what God is doing in your life and you witness to God's presence in your life. See, we get this idea that, well, witnessing has got to be like this formal thing where we go on a Tuesday night and we do this and we do. No, God places opportunities in front of you on a regular basis. And whether you're an apostle or not, every one of you who's a follower of Jesus has a string of opportunities that God's going to place in front of you. I believe he's going to place one in front of every one of you tomorrow to speak something positive about the kingdom of God. Here's the question. Will you take the opportunity? Will you take that moment and say, oh, we're not going to talk about football today. We're going to talk about something way more important. What God's doing in my life. You're going, well, I don't know if God's doing anything in my life. That's another conversation for another day. But as I've studied Paul and Barnabas, what I see is this, a parallel to every person in this room who knows Christ as Savior. See, God didn't save you just to take you to heaven. Back up. Did he save you to take you to heaven? Yes, he did. But that's not all he did, okay? I want you to catch this. He saved you to be engaged in your part of the kingdom of God. And what I find interesting is this. Paul and Barnabas didn't stay in Iconium long. They stayed a while, but we don't know. They didn't stay the rest of their ministry there, did they? They stayed a few months, maybe a year, probably less, and they moved on. And you go, well, then there must not have been any fruit out of that or no effectiveness out of this. Timothy, hello. God works in situations. And so they left Pisidian Antioch and they moved on 60 miles to Iconium. They served and they're faithful, but they didn't have to stay there. Why? Here's what I want you to catch. The kingdom of God was not dependent on Paul and Barnabas staying in that one town. You know, there's one thing I've learned in ministry. I was figuring up the other day, I'm 142, so I've been in ministry for, any of y'all with me? Hello. This next fall will be 30 years that I first started serving the church, fall of 17. And what's interesting is that the couple of churches I've had the opportunity to serve is when God has moved me and then my family and I, do you know what's amazing to me? Those churches continue to serve and to lift up Christ. Aren't you glad it's not dependent on any one of us? Some of you are thinking, is he leaving? No, I'm not talking about me. I'm just saying, listen, God does not have to have you or me in this place to accomplish his work. He wants us to be here, but he is not dependent on Paul, Barnabas, Bill, Mary, Joe, anybody. He's going to accomplish his work through us, but he's going to ask us to take the opportunity he places in front of us, to take advantage of the moment, to be involved where we are, to say, God, this is the moment I'm going to speak. This is the moment I'm going to share. This is the moment I'm going to take the opportunity, and I'm going to be a part of it. Let me ask you this. Where's God opening the door for you to serve him today? You go, well, the day's almost over. How about tomorrow? How about Tuesday? Where's the opportunity to serve him? It probably will look different than the person sitting next to you. It'll definitely look different than the person sitting across the building from you. But if God's opening the door, take it. The opportunity's there. Second, when God moves, so does the enemy. When God moves, so does the enemy. I want you to catch a principle from this that we sometimes go, well, this doesn't seem right. We need to realize that the enemy wants nothing more than to stop the work of God wherever he can. How many churches, how many classes, how many ministries begin to experience the presence of God, begin to experience the moving of God, begin to experience the blessing of God, and then what happens? Bam! Something blows up. Have you noticed? You go, well, that's just because we're all human and we're flawed. Well, I get that part of it, but I want you to understand there's a bigger thing at work here, and it's the enemy of God trying to stop the work of God. When you look at the circumstances at Iconium, what you have is this, a textbook case of God at work, moving in a community, and opposition arising. You want a good example of where this is how it works. It's a common expectation. There's a common expectation among us as believers that we say this, well, if I want to be faithful to God, then there'll never be opposition. And what I see again and again and again in the New Testament is this, there's always going to be opposition. It's just the way it is. You go, well, I don't like opposition. Well, who does? I mean, anybody that says, well, I think I'd like to have some opposition today. I mean, we're going to have your head checked out, okay? But just because it happens and you don't like it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's there. Just like the adage I shared a few minutes ago, if you get up in the morning, don't meet the devil, it means what? You're just heading the same direction. We ought to be finding some opposition. Now, don't go looking for problem, but it should be there. Because as the kingdom of God moves forward, the enemy is also going to try to fight against it. One more thought, and I'll be done. Don't let anything stop faithfulness. Don't let anything stop you being faithful to God. When Paul and Barnabas discovered a plot, let's call it a serious plot, to really hurt them, what do they do? They have a decision to make. What do we do in this moment? Were they going to be faithful and say, okay, we're going to keep on going. We're apostles. We're here to plant churches. We're here to share the gospel. We're here to establish the kingdom of God. And if it means we die, we die. Or do they say, okay, we know that, it hadn't been written yet, but we know the thought, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We get that. But maybe God has something else for us tomorrow. Maybe the calling for these people in Iconium is they're going to have to step up and do the ministry themselves. And we're not going to be here. If we're to be apostles, the apostles. If we're to serve in the ministry, serve in the ministry. But whatever we do, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. See, there are times when relocation is the right thing to do. Read that from the text here. These guys moved to the next town. What they did is they began a work, and then they moved to the next town. And guess what? We're going to see that in January when we get back to Acts. They see God work in another town. And they go to another place, and they see God work in another town. Because God's work is not dependent on one person being in one place and forever, but in God working through his people corporately together. But we have to make a choice that says this: I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful. And here's my conclusion. I told you I'd finish early. Long day for some of you. Seek to live in the center of God's will for your life on a regular basis. And it's this: real life is about fulfilling God's plan. What's God's plan for you? What's his purpose for you? What's his direction for you today? Father, I just pray right now that you would just bless your people real good as they continue to seek to follow you, to be a part of your kingdom's work. And we just pray that you would just be in the midst of our lives blessing. God, we want to be found faithful. We want to be found in the middle of your plan. And we want to follow you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and let's sing a song.